Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be speaking about the Realme X2 Pro. Now, this smartphone has been launched recently. It's a value flagship, as they'd like to call it. Now, this is a category where you get some killer specifications, which were only found in high-end smartphones until very recently. And the pricing is not too bad. Now, I'm not going to say budget pricing, but it is definitely not bad pricing. It's very good value for money. So, the Realme X2 Pro is available in two variants. One of them is priced at 29,999 rupees. That's the base variant. I think it has 8 GB of RAM and 128 GB of storage. And there's another variant with 12 GB of RAM and 256 GB storage at 33,999 rupees. So for 30,000 rupees, you're getting the Snapdragon 855 Plus processor on this one, along with four rear cameras and a 64 megapixel primary camera. So on the spec sheet, at least, everything looks impressive. But is it really the phone you should buy? Have they cut too many corners for this? We have Deputy Reviews Editor Royden Sarejo here with us to find out.
What up?
And I'm your host, Pranay Parab. Okay, so let's begin by talking about the pricing of this phone for a bit before we move on to the build quality and all. So what are your thoughts on the fact that they've priced this under 30,000 rupees? And are there any obvious places where you can see that they've cut corners to achieve this price tag?
Honestly, so the pricing is actually quite impressive considering the package you get, and it's actually very similar to the China pricing as well. The phone was launched in China, I think, recently, a month or so back. So very aggressive pricing from Realme's part. And in terms of cutting corners, honestly, they haven't really, like, I can't really tell any specific place or very obvious spaces if they've cut any corners, because it seems like a very well put together phone. I mean, you get a good set of features and all those features actually work pretty well. So it's not just, you know, for the sake of jotting down those points on a spec sheet that they've just added it. So all of them really come together pretty well. And this is, again, being their first real flagship, because this is like the best available processor. The first time they're using this.
Time they're also going above 20,000 rupees.
Exactly. So this is, again, there are many firsts for Realme. Like, mostly they've been playing in the sub 20,000 rupees segment, where they've been pretty successful. And this is the first time they're going above that and, you know, competing now with brands like even OnePlus, which is kind of their distant cousin, if you think about it.
Mm.
So overall, I think they've done a pretty good job. I mean, it's a pretty good package, especially for 30,000. Quite surprised that they've launched it at that price. And even the top-end version, the one we had was the lower-end one, the 30,000 rupee one. But the top-end version for 12,256 is also not bad. I mean, it's still well under the price, the starting price of the OnePlus 7T.
Yeah, so extremely aggressive pricing and no obvious places where they've really missed out on. Now, one thing I want to bring to everyone's attention when we talk about the build quality of this phone is that this phone has a water drop style notch on the front, and it does not use a pop-up selfie camera. Now, we've seen Realme doing this with the Realme X, where they had a pop-up selfie camera and a phone that felt really premium and nice.
Right.
And that gives you that really nice notchless display. So your thoughts on them going with this approach as opposed to putting a pop-up selfie camera on their highest end device?
You know what? I mean, that's, I don't think that's, again, a big deal breaker. The Realme X was supposed to be, I mean, they tried to make it a little more stylish. So, I mean, if you wanted something with, like, premium features on a budget phone, that was essentially the pitch for the Realme X. However, here, if you're looking at it, I mean, at just 10,000 rupees more, you're getting a lot more compared to the Realme X. And probably adding that, you know, mechanical aspect of having an additional motor and stuff for the pop-up camera could have increased the cost even more, which could have maybe, you know, prevented them from launching this at this sub 30,000 rupee price point. So I don't think it's a big deal, honestly. And the notch is not that bothersome. Like, if you look at it, it's a much smaller notch than what you normally see on phones. It's not that bigger, cutout in the display.
Yeah, and also the borders around the display are quite thin compared to previous phones from the same company.
Yeah, I mean, it's visible, but it's, again, it's not that noticeable. And especially the chin, like, usually we've seen Android phones or even budget ones have a little thick chin or a thick border at the bottom of the bezel, at least, which is not the case here. And if you've seen the OnePlus 7T, this actually looks a lot like the OnePlus 7T, especially in terms of the way they have shaped the display and especially that tiny notch.
Yeah, the only major difference I would say is on the back. The OnePlus 7T uses a frosted glass type pattern, which the Realme X2 Pro does not. And yeah, the camera is a circular.
Yeah, so the cameras are laid out in this circular module, whereas here you have this vertical strip.
Yeah.
But essentially, it's again a very similar in terms of the display. I wouldn't say design, but more of the display in term for the OnePlus 7T. And again, not really surprising if you consider, you know, Realme, Oppo, OnePlus, they're all essentially part of this one parent company, which
called
is
BBK Electronics.
BBK Electronics. So, yeah. There is a lot of part sharing which goes on, and it is very obvious, I think, in this phone here.
Yeah, I mean, I think, what was it? Oppo K3 and Realme X, right?
Yes.
They were literally the same phone.
It was literally identical phones, except for maybe the way the camera module looked at the back. But essentially, even that was a very cosmetic thing to make it look different. But internally, I think I'm pretty sure the layout was identical between those two phones.
Yeah, it's like when you copy in exams, right? You change the answer just a little bit.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I wanted your thoughts on one more thing. Now, Realme, in my opinion, has launched way too many phones in way too short a span.
Yep.
So then you get things like the Realme X launches with a pop-up selfie camera and the Snapdragon 710 processor. Then the Realme XT comes along like just about a month or two later with the 712 processor, which is slightly better, a 64 megapixel primary camera, but no pop-up selfie camera at the same time. So that leads to a bit of confusion. Now, when I look at the market in every price segment, I can find a Realme phone that I want to recommend, starting from the sub 10,000 rupee segment all the way to now the 30,000 rupee price segment. So what does this do for a potential Realme buyer? Like, if you go to the market today and if you, like, let's say you want to buy a Realme phone, a lot of people would be worried that, okay, next month they are launching the Realme XT 730G and the month after that, it'll probably come up with something that'll basically make my own phone outdated.
That is true. So I think, let's maybe take the X2 Pro as an example. I think if you're considering to pick this up, I think you're pretty much safe for this year, or at least till next Qualcomm's next flagship, because currently there isn't anything better in terms of processor, at least out right now. So this one has the 855 Plus, which is the top end chip from Qualcomm. And it doesn't seem like they're going to launch anything that will succeed the X2 Pro, at least for now. But yeah, like at the launch event, the Realme India CEO did say that there are many more launches happening in December. One of them is a phone, which is the Realme XT 730G. And also he teased that there would be some AirPods-style competing.
Yeah, he showed it truly on stage, actually.
He wore them and he walked off or something. So So I think they might be launching many more accessories, probably more phones as well, but I doubt there would be anything that would succeed the X2 Pro this quickly.
Yeah, I would also hope so, because as a potential customer for Realme, like, I'd get major anxiety just thinking about my phone being outdated
that's
within
very
a month.
True. Yeah.
So that's been happening way too often. That's something that the company needs to look out for. So I think right now they're still in that phase where they want to dethrone Xiaomi.
Yep.
But now that they've gained a significant market share, I suppose they'll probably eventually change their strategy to slowing down their phone launches. Maybe do one every 3 months, you know, in each price segment. So let's say the Realme XT comes out, the successor comes out, what, at least like 6 to 9 months later, not like, you know, 2 months later as happened with the XT and the X.
I think my guess would be the successor to this, whatever it would
X2
be,
Pro, yeah,
X3 Pro, whatever we end up calling, would probably come out around the time the OnePlus 8 would come out, and, you know, would probably have like a Snapdragon 865 or whatever the next chip is.
Hmm.
So I'm guessing if they are going to target again, you know, enthusiast buyers, which is predominantly been the case with, you know, OnePlus audience, then they would probably again look at, you know, raining on OnePlus's parade. Around that time, they would probably make some announcement of, you know, a similarly spec'd phone. So
yeah, so I mean, one could actually argue that this is probably the phone that OnePlus should have been launching, the Realme X2 Pro, because that was their initial pitch, right? That we'll give you crazy specs at a really good price. But as time has gone on, OnePlus has been spending a lot on marketing and becoming that premium brand, and their price has been going northwards like quite slowly.
Exactly, because I mean, if you think about it, if they are going to spend so much on marketing and you know, get in, rope in like big brand ambassadors like Amitabh Bachchan and you know, Robert Downey Jr. and stuff, they have to make up that money somewhere. So they can't, and plus I think the philosophy of the brand has probably also changed over the years. They don't want to be seen as this, I mean, they flagship killer, like, you know, like a budget phone. They want to, I think, move out from that image of being a budget phone and actually be a premium device. Like, they want to change the mindset of people and to think of OnePlus making premium phones and not like a low-cost version of a premium phone.
Yeah, true. So that's actually a very nice summary of what OnePlus has been doing.
Yeah.
At the same time now, with Realme being so aggressive and also cannibalizing OnePlus's own price segment, because let's not forget, I think about 2 weeks ago, I saw the OnePlus 7 selling at the same price, you know, 30,000 rupees. So when you have the X2 Pro next to the OnePlus 7 starts looking dated immediately.
Yep.
So at that price, it's a very, very hard sell. And the other point I wanted to make here is that software has been one area where OnePlus has been far ahead of all other, you know, custom Android skin makers. And I would probably say that even in the BBK Electronics family, ColorOS, I would put it in this way. FunTouchOS at the lowest rung, because that is just plain horrible.
Yeah.
Then ColorOS, and then OxygenOS, like, far ahead. But now, between ColorOS 5.2 and what we've seen so far of ColorOS 7, there's been a lot of progress. And with ColorOS 7, which is not on this device, by the way, it's probably going to come at some point in the future. ColorOS 7 has taken an even more of a U-turn towards stock Android. So a lot of enthusiasts, people who don't exactly like these custom skins, they'll probably be more tempted to get this as opposed to spending 40 and maybe, you know, what is the price, 53,000 for the OnePlus 70 Pro.
Yeah,
so that much money, instead of spending that, they probably would look at these devices now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, ColorOS has evolved quite a bit, especially in the new version, which is 6.1 on this X2 Pro, which I don't think it's come out on the other Realme phones yet. And I mean, there are still a lot of like third-party apps that they preload, maybe because that's what their users want, or they have, in their research, they've seen that people are actually using these apps.
Or they have some marketing tie-ups with these companies.
Possible, yeah. So there's still a lot of bloatware. Most of it can be uninstalled, but it's a lot leaner. Like the UI, it looks a lot cleaner, and you know, they've sort of streamlined that part. And even in 6.1, like they've added Google's digital well-being, which was not present previously. They've added things like a dark mode, which you can force onto third-party apps as well, even apps that don't have native support for dark mode. So they're doing some pretty interesting things. And according to, I think, even the teaser for ColorOS 7, which is their next best big version, which is based on Android 10, they are promising a closer to stock Android experience. So it should be pretty interesting and probably bring ColorOS closer to what OxygenOS is.
Yeah, of course, it's going to take them at least a year and a half or two to catch up with OxygenOS or come anywhere close to what they've done over the years.
Yeah.
Because not only do they promise fast updates, they also like add a bunch of features which are really useful, like that long screenshot thing, a native screen recorder, things like that, which should have been there in Android. So, well, it'll be interesting to see how this software battle plays out between ColorOS and OxygenOS over time. So we'll keep an eye on that. But now let's get back to the Realme X2 Pro itself. So the camera is one area where, you know, a lot of these smartphones really begin to slug it out with each other. And the distinguishing factor between many of them ultimately is how far they can push the boundaries for the camera. So what are your thoughts on this?
So the cameras have been pretty solid. I mean, I've been using it for like daytime, and even I've taken a lot of bunch of nighttime shots as well. And it's quite impressive. They've made some pretty significant changes, and they've borrowed a lot of the software capabilities from the recent Oppo phones, which is essentially the similar camera app, because even Oppo phones run ColorOS. And they've put it in the Realme X2 Pro, which I'm quite happy to see. So the main sensor is the 64MP Samsung sensor, which we again first saw on the Realme XT. So not much has changed there. I mean, in daylight, you still get a really good quality shots. There's plenty of detail, colors are good, and you know, HDR works really well, and you can shoot at the full 64 megapixel resolution also if you wanted. Now, there are four cameras at the back. Let me just mention that. So one of them is a 64. And what Realme has done, and I do appreciate, is that they have ditched that 2 megapixel macro camera that we've seen on the Realme 5, 5 Pro and the XT. And they've basically just used a telephoto camera instead of that. So with this, you get 2x optical zoom, which is nice to have. And what Realme says, they also have 5x hybrid zoom, which works pretty well. And they also have a maximum of 20x digital zoom. Now, I think this 20x zoom was something that recently we saw on the Oppo Reno 2. That was, I think, one of their highlight features. And it works well. Like, it's obviously digital zoom when you're doing 20x. The image quality, like, you shouldn't expect too much in terms of actual detail and image quality, but if you're trying to like zoom into like distant text, or you're trying to read like, you know, like maybe like small objects, are more noticeable and text is legible even compared to a full 64MP shot. So we tried that out, like, you know, zooming into a full 64 megapixel shot versus zooming in 20x digitally. The digital zoom had slightly better photos. So again, this is not something that's going to give you great quality, but again, it's something that's probably nice to have. I'm not sure how many people would actually end up using it, but I guess it's some sort of a feature that you can boast about, that you have 20x zoom. Secondly, there's also a wide-angle camera, which works well, and you have night mode, which also works with a wide-angle camera, and you can shoot video with a wide-angle camera. Again, the video part wasn't available on previous Realme phones. And the wide-angle camera also has autofocus, so that super macro thing that I talked about, that they ditched the dedicated camera, you can actually use that 16 megapixel wide camera to get that super macro shots, which is a lot more useful than using a 2 megapixel sensor, which, you know, didn't really have very good details. And finally, you have a depth sensor, which again is used for portrait shots. So overall, I think it's a pretty good camera lineup at the back. We've seen good quality shots in daylight and even in night, especially with Nightscape. You can really get some good quality low light shots. Video recording is good. You get 4K 60 now thanks to the 855 Plus. And image quality is good. Low light, it suffers a bit. It is a little noisy and a little jittery, especially if you use stabilization. But other than that, it's pretty good overall. I mean, even the selfie camera is pretty good. And you get Nightscape even for the selfie camera now. So that's something new that they've added in ColorOS 6.1. So overall, I think, again, for 30,000 rupees, it's a pretty good set of cameras and the performance is not bad as well.
Yeah, true that. So pretty good to see all of these things. Now, you just mentioned performance briefly. Yeah. I'm guessing that 855 Plus performs pretty well and gaming and all should not be an issue. And 8GB of RAM is more than enough.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've been using the lower end, the base variant, and really not really seen any major stutters or issues so far. Like, we've been playing PUBG, Call of Duty, and even, you know, all these heavy games, and performance has been pretty consistent and smooth. We also didn't forget to mention that this is a 90Hz display, just like the OnePlus 7T. And the UI does feel a lot more fluid compared to like a regular 60Hz display. And you can actually take advantage of this 90Hz in some games, like, you know, Rayman Adventures, which does support the higher frame rate. So the games also feel a lot more fluid and snappy.
Yeah, so that 90Hz refresh rate, does it have an impact on battery life?
Not that I've seen. Like, I've been using it mostly at the 90Hz itself. I've not. You can manually switch to 60 if you want, but this doesn't have that auto switching feature. But even at 90Hz, like, I'm getting what, like a solid day and a half with regular usage. And I think that's more than satisfactory. And like, anyways, like, after a day, most people would anyways charge their phones eventually. And a day and a half is, I think, a pretty good runtime, considering, you know, it's a 4000 milliamp hour, which again is not the largest, and the 90Hz screen. So I think it's still doing a pretty good job, all things considered.
Yeah, so I know that testing is still underway, but have you run the HD video loop test?
We have. So this, I think for the HD video loop test, it ran for about 14 hours, 14 and a half hours roughly. Or was it 13 and a half? But yeah, around that ballpark.
Yeah, which is
a little under 15 hours, which is decent, which is not bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's 11-12 hours is considered to be poor these days. Anything under 10, just forget about it.
Yeah.
And above 15 is considered really good. So this is sort of on the border.
I mean, again, considering I ran it at 90Hz, it's still not bad.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, a lot of people will be running this at 90Hz. So it's
There's any reason to switch to 60. I mean, you still get good enough battery life.
Yeah, true that. So how's the display? Are you happy with the movie watching experience on that?
Absolutely. Again, no issues. It's a full HD plus AMOLED panel. And, you know, Realme really hasn't, we've not really had any issues with the displays on Realme phone so far. And this one is no exception. Like, it's, the colors are good. It's, there's good saturation. Brightness level is very good. And, you know, no issues with sunlight legibility as well. You do get an in-display fingerprint sensor, which works very well. And you also have face unlock, which, again, like all previous Realme phones work, is very quick to, you know, unlock.
Okay, so, you know, in case some people who've been considering the OnePlus 7T are looking at this, I'd like to find out if it has expandable storage or a headphone jack.
Yeah, so it does have the headphone jack, unlike the OnePlus 7T, but just like the 7T, it doesn't have expandable storage. So the SIM tray, you can only access two slots for two nano SIMs. And that's about it. Like, there's no expandable storage, which is fine, because one thing I should mention is that this is, again, one of the few phones, probably the only phone at this price to have UFS 3.0 storage.
Yeah.
And this is again the new storage standard, which is theoretically supposed to be twice as fast as the previous gens. So it's again pretty nice to see Realme even offering that at, you know, this lower price.
Yeah, true that. I mean, the more I speak to you, the more I realize that Realme is probably gunning for the OnePlus 7T.
It seems like it.
Because in terms of competition, now what do we have here? We'll just quickly talk about that. So sure. Asus 6Z is slightly more expensive than this. I think after the price cut, the base variant is 27,999. So that's under this. But the higher variant, 6128 and 8128, those two variants are either at this price or more expensive than this phone. And it does have the older 855 processor, right?
Yeah, it has the 855. It has a standard 60Hz screen and, you know, UFS, I think, 2.1. It doesn't have UFS 3.
Yeah, that. And then we have the Redmi K20 Pro. Again, slightly dated processor, 855. Yep. Not that it's going to make, like, a major difference to people. Yeah. 855 or plus. Unless you're some hardcore gamer who cares about FPS.
It's, yeah, honestly, in day-to-day, there's no difference. There's probably a marginal difference in gaming between these two chips. So.
Yeah, true that. So, that is, again, at 25,000 rupees or so. But you do get better specs with this one overall.
Yeah. And let's not forget that it runs MIUI.
Yeah, that also, lots of ads in MIUI, which has been a perennial complaint. But now I think, you know, in the near future, I probably would assume that Xiaomi would have some smartphone lined up to compete with the X2 Pro from Realme. So if I were to make an educated guess, I probably would say that the Poco F2 will be that phone.
Hearing rumors, or at least like hoping that this mythical F2 would actually show itself. But till now, again, there's not been any teasers or official talk from Xiaomi themselves that they're even working on an F2. But I'm pretty sure with like Realme being this aggressive and, you know, launching a phone pretty much every month, they would have to probably think of an F2, even if they haven't at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Realme has been targeting Xiaomi at every single price point and launching phones just because there is a Xiaomi phone at that price point, and they're trying to offer things like either slightly better at the same price or the same thing at a lower price. That's been their strategy. Now, Xiaomi fought back with the Redmi Note 8 Pro recently, which was taking on the Realme XT, offers most of the features at 1,000 rupees less and also better performance, I should say. Now, what is a competitor to the Realme X2 Pro that's in the Xiaomi lineup right now? It's the Redmi K20 Pro, which, you know, because these companies care a lot about specs, they keep making these PowerPoint slides when they are launching phones and they keep saying that, okay, look, this competitor has only XYZ specs and this doesn't. So that has been a huge talking point. Now, one area where Xiaomi is far behind Realme is charging. So with the Realme X2 Pro, you do get a 50-watt charger, which is probably the final point I wanted to bring up before we wrap up this episode. Yeah. So that's a huge talking point for Realme. Even on stage during the event, what they did was they compared this phone's charging to other phones, which was, I think, Huawei P30 Pro, the Samsung Galaxy Note 10 Plus and iPhone 11 Pro.
Right.
What they really should have done is just put a OnePlus 7T also there. But then again, it's a cousin company.
So probably they didn't want to ruffle any feathers over there.
Yeah, true that. Yeah. So 50-watt fast charger on this one, how well does it perform?
So yeah, it performs as you would expect a 50-watt charger to charge a battery, and pretty impressive. So I think the Reno Ace Oppo was teasing with a 65-watt charger. But this is, I think, equally impressive. So this is 50 watts. And in my test, like with the phone off, with the battery completely dead, I was able to charge it to 100% in 31 minutes. Now,
nuts.
That's insane. And this is a 4,000 milliampere battery. So Realme says that it should be able to do it in 35 or under 35, which is true. Probably if I had booted the phone, maybe it would have taken a minute or two longer. But it's still a really impressive time. Like, imagine going from zero to a full charge in half an hour. That's insane.
Yeah, it's true. And also, like, all these phones for fast charging, how it works is 0 to 80% is really quick. 80 to 100 is relatively slower. So if you want to get from 0 to 80%, probably will take you some 20 minutes. And then the last 10 minutes, it'll take another further.
Exactly. And I think one more thing I should point out is, like, unlike many other phones, like even the 7T, which has this warp charge 30, right? The fast charging only works when you use their proprietary charger. Mm. But what Realme has thoughtfully done is that the X2 Pro also supports Qualcomm Quick Charge 3 and USB Power Delivery 2 charger. So even if you don't have their SuperVOOC 50-watt charger on hand, you can use any other fast charger which, you know, complies with Qualcomm's Quick Charge standard or even USB Type-C Power Delivery, and you can still have like probably 18-watt or 20-watt fast charging, which is still nice. It's still better than having, it's still better than not having any fast charging at all. So I think that's a pretty thoughtful thing to, you know, add that as well.
Yeah, true that. So any closing thoughts on the Realme X2 Pro before we wrap this episode?
So I think overall, I think one thing which we didn't mention is that the phone also has stereo speakers. Mm-hmm. Again, direct competitor to the 70 over here. But I think overall at 30,000, you really can't go wrong with this phone. I mean, you know, the cameras offer pretty solid overall performance. Snapdragon 855 Plus is the latest and the best that you can get in any Android phone. The design actually feels really premium. There's Gorilla Glass on the front and the back. And it's just a pretty, I think, a very, you know, good packaged phone that performs pretty well on all fronts. I don't think there's any major con, so to say. Probably low light, again, camera performance could have been better. That is probably my one thing. And it is a slightly big phone. It is a slightly large phone. So it is, that's, I'm guessing, one of the, you know, ergonomic things that people might want to consider before picking it up. But overall, I think there's nothing really major. There's no major deal breaker as such in this, especially at like 29,999, you really can't go wrong with it.
All right. So with that, we'll wrap this episode of Orbital. We'll be back with one more episode next week. In the meantime, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. You can also subscribe to this podcast, review it, rate it at any podcast app that you use, such as Apple Podcasts on your iPhone, Google Podcasts on your Android phone, or any other app of your choice. These things, they help us a lot. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week.